I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, I was sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard this old sinner's cry, and from sin's waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. God's love lifted me. That's my testimony, in part due to the Gideon ministry. In May of 1968, I had just been processed through Fort Dix, New Jersey, and put on a cattle car and carried over to McGuire Air Force Base to board a Flying Tiger bound for the Republic of Vietnam. And as I was loading that plane that morning, there were two men out there, and they were handing out Bibles. Now, I claimed to be an atheist, that I didn't believe in God. They asked me, though, would I like to have one of these little New Testaments, and I took that thing because I was hoping if I carried it in my pocket in Vietnam, it would protect me from the big bullet if it ever hit me in my heart. And so I took that Bible and got on the airplane, a Flying Tiger, bound for the Republic of Vietnam, and this Georgia boy went on the wildest plane ride he'd ever been on in his life. Somewhere between Japan and the Republic of Vietnam, we skirted around the backside of a great storm, and that plane would just shoot up in the air, felt like thousands of feet, and then drop just as much, and you could feel the wings as if they were hitting solid ground out there as they buckled. I pulled out that little Bible, and I looked at it, and I said, you know, I don't know how you work, but if you could help me, I would appreciate it. And do you know, it just calmed down up there. It was like we slid in on glass to Benoit, and as we were coming in, there was a mortar attack, and we came in, lights out, and the doors flew open. They said, run for the bunker, and they were leading us there, and I was hanging on to that little Bible, asking it to help me. Later that night, I ended up at the Republic of, the Long Bend 90th Replacement Battalion in Vietnam, and the first sergeant was telling us all the important places, and he said, now, if there's a mortar attack, you'll assemble in this bunker over here. And I was just a 19-year-old kid, and I remember asking him, First Sergeant, how will I know if there's a mortar attack? And he took the cigar out of his mouth, and he spit on the ground, said some things I couldn't tell you tonight. And he said, son, when the buildings start blowing up around you, it's a good indication it's a mortar attack. I held on to that little New Testament. I carried it with me everywhere I went. I never walked point. I was never on mission that I didn't have that Bible in my pocket, but I never read it. I went back home, picked up my wife, went to Fort Gordon, Georgia, where I was to serve as a drill sergeant. I was only there for a short time, and I ended up back in the Republic of Vietnam, and I still have that little Bible with me. I remember I really came to the place that I didn't think I was going to get back home. And I wrote my wife and I said, honey, if there is a God, I don't know him. And if there is a hell, I'll surely go there. I asked people to pray for me, and they did. They were, and they continued to pray for me more earnestly. And I took out that little New Testament that I had never read. And I remember Brother Trotter, a Gideon, told me that paper is patient. That little New Testament had been waiting on me for almost 2 years. And I opened it up. I had a cousin named Matthew. I didn't like him, so I skipped over the Gospel of Matthew and over Mark, Luke, and John. And I ended up in the Gospel of John. And the very first verse just reached out and grabbed me. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I read on a little bit more, and it said, this Word was also the light that lighteth up every man that cometh into the world. And I read on a little bit more, and this Word that was the light was manifested, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. I read on a little bit more and found John the Baptist, who said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Read on a little bit more, and I found in chapter 3 a fellow by the name of Nicodemus. When I got to seminary, I realized his name was Nicodemus, but he carried me up a hill called Calvary, and at John 3:16, I realized that God had died for me on the cross of Calvary. I'd like to tell you I became a Christian then, but I didn't. But I went back home under Holy Ghost conviction. The God of that Bible had walked off the pages and got into my heart. And when I got back stateside, I said, God, if you'll just show me a real live Christian, I'll believe. And I said, God, not another Baptist. Show me a real live Christian and I'll believe. And my wife, who had grown up in the Baptist church, a good woman, gave her heart to Jesus. And there in my home, in the kitchen, in the living room, in the bedroom, I saw the grace of God in a person's life. Gave my heart to Jesus too. And just a short time later, God called us into the ministry, and we went to college and seminary. And shortly thereafter, God allowed me to go back into the military as a chaplain. And that's when I really discovered you Gideons and the wonderful ministry that you have. Thank you so much for giving us the Bibles that we needed in the military to put in the hand of every one of those young men and women coming into the United States Army. My first assignment was a basic training environment, and I remember I challenged all these young people to read the Gospel of John, and we'd get together and talk about it. And shortly thereafter, a young man came up to me, and he said, "Chaplain, I'm from Dufuniac Springs, Florida, and I walked down the aisle, but I really didn't trust God. I didn't believe there was a God. I just did it to please my mom and dad. But he said, since I've gotten here to basic training and met the drill sergeant, he convinced me there is a devil, so I know there must be a God." And so he had prayed that prayer and gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, may I tell you that I had the privilege to talk to witches and Wiccans and warlocks and shamans and atheists and Satanists and Buddhists and Muslims, and talk to them about the living Lord Jesus Christ. And first of all, I asked them to read from that little New Testament they had, the Gospel of John. And I'm glad to tell you, I saw many of them fall down on their knees and make Jesus Christ the Lord and Master of their heart. I remember a witch who said to me, she said, "Can you tell me where a big tree is?" And I said, "Yes, I can." And I carried her to John 3:16 and walked her up that hill called Calvary. And I said, "There's a big tree on which God died for you." And that witch fell on her knees and gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God is powerful. Amen. I had a first sergeant who came up to me and he said, "Chaplain, listen, keep that Bible away from me. You can give it to my soldiers, but keep that Bible away from me." And I said, "First Sergeant, have you ever read the Word of God?" And he said, "No." I said, "First Sergeant, I double dog dare you to read the Gospel of John." He took it. 2 weeks later, he called me. He said, "Stay in your office." He came in, fell down on his knees in front of my desk, and he held up that little New Testament. He was a big man, and his hand was trembling like it weighed 10,000 pounds. And he said, "Chaplain, I want the Jesus of this book to be the Jesus of my life." And there on his knees, gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear this. I know that he was saved. Because on his knees, he pulled out his checkbook, and he said, "My mama said if you're really saved, you'll give a tithe to God." I said, "Amen, there's a man that's really been transformed by the power of God." And he wrote out a check, and he made it out to God. Amen. That afternoon, he asked me to be in the company area, and I was there. And we had a formation after retreat. 200 young men and women. He put them at parade rest, told them to pull off their BDU cover, and he said, "Now, Chaplain Sweat's going to come, and all of you are going to give your heart to Jesus." I said, "First Sergeant, I like the way you work. I do, but we can't do that." But I went to the day room, and we had about 25 to 30 that afternoon give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had been reading that little New Testament that you helped provide, and the Word of God had quickened in their hearts, and they came to know Christ as Savior. A young man was there, gave his heart to Christ, and he went back home to get married, and then he was bound for Desert Storm. He went home after giving his heart to Christ. He had that little New Testament that you folks helped provide. He went home, got married, and about a month later, his mother called me. And she said, "Are you Chaplain Sweat so-and-so with this unit?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Do you remember Private so-and-so?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do." She said, "Did he really get saved?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, he really gave his heart to Jesus." She said, "My son was killed, he and his wife, on their honeymoon night. And the only thing I have is this little New Testament in which he wrote in it that he received Christ as Savior. And he had your name down there." And she said, "I've got his little New Testament and I've been reading it. She said, "Chaplain, do you think I could get saved?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I believe you could." And over thousands of miles with that little testament that left Fort McClellan, Alabama, and ended up in Denver, Colorado, she went through the scriptures, and I went through them together, and she gave her heart to the Lord Jesus. Wow, the power of the Word of God. Gideons, listen, don't give in. Don't give out. Don't give up. God bless you. Keep going for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are more who need the Word of God and who need to be saved. Thank you. God bless you.
Hear that message. Tears just well up in my eyes. Gideon's was started by two men. It happened in Wisconsin. One night, they were both traveling salesmen, and back in those days, there weren't cars, but there were trains. And they had a tremendous snowstorm, and the train got stuck. And so they brought them to a hotel. And the first guy was a Christian, got his room, went to his hotel room. And the second guy came in a little bit later, and he went to the front desk, and he wanted to get a room. And the desk clerk says, "I'm sorry, we're full. There's no room. We're full." And in their conversation, the clerk must have recognized that he was a Christian. And he hesitated a moment, and he says, "Wait a minute. Just stay here a second. I'm going to check something out." So he went to the guy that had come earlier. And he knocked on the door, and the guy says, "Come on in." And he went in. And he says, "Our hotel is full, but you've got one extra bed here. Would you consider a strange man to come into your room and sleep on that bed tonight?" And he consented. "Yeah, I'll do that." And so he went down, and he had the second man go up to the room. Second man walks in, and here this man was sitting there reading his Bible. And the second man says, "Praise the Lord." He says, "I'm a Christian, but I don't have my Bible with me. And I promised my mother on her deathbed when I was 17 years old that I would read God's word every day." And so he says, "I wonder if they got one downstairs." He went downstairs to the clerk, and he says to the clerk, he says, "Would you have a Bible that I can have my devotions tonight?" And the clerk reached underneath the shelf, and he pulled out a Bible and gave it to him. And so he went back to the room, and they had devotions together, and they discussed and they talked into the wee hours of the night, because the train was stuck. They weren't going to go anywhere the next day anyway. And they got to thinking, and they got to praying, and they got to reading God's word. And they says, "You know, it's sad when there isn't a Bible for those that are traveling and get stranded unexpectedly. We need to do something about this." And this was in 1899. Well, in 1808, they spoke to a ministerial association, and they told them their plan. And they says, "We will deliver these Bibles free of charge if you'll get us the Bibles." And the Ministerial Association, they asked for a little bit of time, and they went out and they discussed it, and then they came back in. And they says to the men, "If you promise that you will deliver every Bible that we buy for you, we will support your dream to put a Bible in every hotel room. And so in 1908, these two Gideons deposited 25 Bibles in a hotel in Superior, Montana. And that was the beginning of it. Now, 1908 to 2001, they had distributed and they had organized with other Gideons by this time, and they had distributed 1 billion Bibles. Think of that, 1 billion. And they continued to work. And in 2015, they had a memorial service or a happy service because they gave George W. Bush a Bible, because that was the number 2 billion Bible that was given out. Now, just 2 weeks ago, they were saying on the news that they figured that there are 7 billion people in the world. And Fox News had taken a survey, and they come to the point, they said, according to the survey that we have taken, there is 2,300,000 or 300 million Christians in the world. Now, I don't know if those figures are right or not. How can you tell? We're going to and fro, you know. It's amazing. But anyway, keep that number in your mind. Now, it says in Isaiah chapter 55, when the prophet said, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things that I wish." The prophet spoke those words, and we have witnessed on this film that we just saw how God works. Now, I got tears in my eyes, but anyway, when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, what happens to a person that accepts Christ? God comes into his heart, and the Holy Spirit begins to work in our souls and in our hearts. And so, folks, every one of us here this morning who profess to be a born-again believer, you are a missionary. Did you know that? We are missionaries. The Gideons are missionaries. We are missionaries that do not receive a salary or anything. We give of our time, of our money for transportation, things of this nature. And so we have a responsibility. And then we read in God's word, we are to go forth, all the Christians, we are to go forth and preach the gospel to every nation, to all the people. And we are to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we are to teach all nations. Now, folks, that is every Christian. That's a commandment that God has given us. And it isn't just the preacher that does that. It's all of us. We are not exempt one iota. God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now I said, what they say that there's 7 billion people. So if there's 2,300,000,000 that profess to be Christians, there is over 4 billion that aren't Christian. And the message needs to be brought out. Thank God for the radio. Thank you God for the TV when the messages are proclaimed throughout the world. But you know, my wife and I have worked at Wycliffe Associates for 9 years. And my wife was privileged to work in Dr. Bill Bright's wife's office. I had the privilege of being involved in manufacturing equipment that they could send it up to the satellite. And inside of 2 minutes, they could be talking to the headquarters in Orlando, Florida, regardless of where they were, in the rainforest, out in the desert, wherever. And God's word, if the translators had a problem, they could talk to someone in headquarters. And that way, the word was being translated. Fast forward, we were back there 2 years ago, and we had a young man that graduated from Wheaton College. And he was laying in the hospital, and they were giving him intravenous. And as he was laying there, and he looked up, and he saw how it was dripping into his veins. And a light bulb turned on in his head. And he says, you know what? If I could make that work with a computer and a printer, we could print our own Bibles and we could really go to town. Well, he was able to connect 4 different colors of ink, and they could buy it by the 50-gallon barrels at almost for nothing. And you go down to Walmart and you try and get a cartridge for your printer, you're talking anywhere from $30 to $40 a carton. And now they can print the Bible. One Bible every 2 minutes. Because of this young man, how he designed it, and they can have pictures in there, 4 colors. So the 4 billion people with the Gideons that we have today, it would take one Gideon to touch 28,000 people, because there's 270,000 Gideons and auxiliary members today. And so the message is that we have a lot of work cut out for us, and when God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation and baptize them and then disciple them. And I believe that this is one of the greatest problems that we have today. We are not discipling newborns. You take the animal world. You guys are farmers. The mother, when the calf is born, dries it off and nudges it a little bit, and the calf gets stronger and stronger, and pretty soon it's up and it's sucking its mother. What do we Christians do? We get a Bible to them, and they may pray the prayer of salvation, but we just drop them. Folks, it's a commandment from God that we have to disciple these children. And so it's so important that the church gets involved in that. And I see you have a WANA program. That is a tremendous program. Our son and our daughter 50 years ago went to the WANA program. It's one of the best things you can do for your kids. They need to memorize God's word and scripture and all the things that go with it. Now, I realize it takes a lot of manpower. But, folks, it's worth it. It's worth it. And you need to continue to do that. The other thing, we need to pray. Now, folks, everyone who professes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can pray. That's a talent everybody's got. Now, we can't all be preachers. We can't all be Sunday school teachers. We can't all be this and that. But you can pray. You need to pray for your pastor. You need to pray for your Sunday school teachers, your elders, your deacons, and that the Holy Spirit move in your midst and work together. Now, we also read since we are farmers, in John chapter 4, verses 35 to 37, we read, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receives wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice. And there is that saying, one soweth and another reapeth." Folks, we've got over 4,000 people. The fields are white unto harvest. And we need to send forth workers. Also, we read in Corinthians chapter 3. "Now, if any man builds on this foundation solid, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire that tests every man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire." Do you realize what that is saying? Does gold burn? Does silver burn? Do precious stones burn? No. Does wood burn? Does straw burn? Does stubble burn? Now, you're going to have the privilege of giving an offering this morning. And as Pastor said, every dime goes to printing and shipping Bibles. And those memorial cards, for every memorial card, if you put $5 in it, we'll buy a Bible. And folks, I have already told my family that when I die, I don't want any flowers. I want Gideon cards. Because you buy a Walmart card, what do they cost? $2.50, $3, $4? You buy a stamp, 50 some cents, you've already got $5 almost. How long do you keep those memorial cards? Where do they end up at? What happens to them? They get burned. Or they get hauled out to the landfill. Folks, that's building on a foundation of stuff that will burn. But if you build on the solid foundation, Jesus Christ, you saw on that movie today how many people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was through one person. We also have other testimonials where whole families, 30, 40 families, end up being saved by one Bible. And that's building on gold and silver and precious stone. That lasts for eternity. And so it's so important that we analyze, where are we sending and spending our money? Is it on something that is built on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ? And I notice we have many young people here this morning. We have many adults. And the question is this morning, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior? You know, we're all going to face that why in the road. We're either going to follow Jesus or we're going to go down the broad way to destruction that leads to hell. And so, folks, if you don't know Jesus today, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Don't gamble. This community has suffered some serious loss in the last couple of weeks. We have one lady in our church that had cancer 3 different times. The last time, she suffered seriously for 2 years. She had all kinds of time to accept Christ, and she did. She had a testimony that just put a lot of people to shame. She was buried on Wednesday, and on Tuesday, the day before, we also, and they were both in our Sunday school class, we had a man get up and boom, his wife jumps out of bed. He was dead that quick. He wouldn't have had a chance. If he hadn't known Jesus as his Lord and Savior, he would be heading down the wide road that leads to destruction. But praise God, he knew his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this week we had a young person. And young people, don't think you're going to live forever. It can happen any moment. And so I challenge you and I plead with you, if you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, today is a day of salvation. This time I want to say thank you, Pastor. It's been an honor to share with your group of people. And I just want to say to you men, as well as ladies, the Gideons have passed a rule now that men and women can work together in distributing God's word. Before, it was the men distributed Bibles to the fifth grade children at school. Now we can take our wives with us. So we praise the Lord for that. But I challenge you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about becoming a Gideon and you want to have a part of that, come and see me. I've got applications right here on the front seat. So thank you.